It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham, and this time we're going to be talking to one of the oldest and most important nonprofits in the state of Oregon. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Susan Huntington. Susan is the president and CEO of Boys and Girls Aid. Hey there, Susan. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hello, Gary. Well, nice to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you again, too. So we've talked before in the past, but let's let our audience know what Boys and Girls Aid is.
Yes, Boys and Girls Aid is Oregon's oldest child welfare agency in the state. We were founded in 1885, and we believe today, as we did then, that it's all about family. That we believe that young people and children will do better and have better outcomes when they have someone in their corner, someone who is supporting them, guiding them, and loving them. And we do that in a variety of different programs across the state in 11 different locations and about 140 employees, and just making a difference every day to make sure kids have that permanent, lifelong connection.
And you said you're the oldest in the state?
We are. We were founded in 1885, and that makes us the oldest. We're vintage.
Yeah, that's awesome. And something else that we should know is that you're the first woman CEO and president.
I am. It took us 132 years or something.
Why did it take so long?
Right. Well, our president and CEOs previous to me stayed a long time. For 60 years, we only had two different men in the role. So,
wow. So people tend to stick around.
They do. Yes. I've been in the role for 8 years.
So you've got.
I'm not sure I'll make 30, but
you're going to give it a shot.
I've stayed a long time.
So tell me about some of the services that Boys and Girls Aid offers.
You know, we really start from birth until you're about the age of 23 or 24. So we will work with that birth mom who is not sure that she can parent right now, and that she wants to make an adoption plan. Adoptions are open, and so they still get to participate in their child's life. We work with those families who are interested in adopting those babies. We work with children who are living in foster care who are available to be adopted, working to do two things. One, to find families for them, and two, to help prepare them to be adopted and work through their grief and their loss and their trauma so that when that connection happens, they're really successful. And then we have our own foster care programs where we're serving foster youth in our own foster homes. And then we have our shelter and housing services where we work with homeless and runaway youth, and we can take them from shelter services all the way through to transitional living. A young person could be with us for 2+ years and really learn to be independent, finish their high school or GED, find employment, learn how to live alone, learn how to be a good tenant so that they can exit our services at the age of 23 or 24 and be active and participating members of our community.
How many kids are in need of service now or help?
Yeah, annually Boys and Girls Aid serves about 1,000 children and families. But in the state of Oregon, we have nearly 6,000 children living in foster care. And every community is affected in Oregon. Every county has children in foster care and has a homeless and runaway youth population as well.
What's the need like for foster parents right now?
The need for foster parents is great. We have a minimal, just in our Tri-County area, Multnomah, Clackamas, Washington County, there's a shortage of around 500 beds, which means that there are 500 young people who don't have a solid foster home to land in. The need is great. The need is urgent, and kids need us and need those foster parents. And a foster family, you know, if they have room in their hearts and their homes to take in a child, it is really that next best place to be when they can't be at home. And they're really helping to guide them through this very uncertain time while they are in foster care.
Those 500 kids you just mentioned, what do they do on a daily basis? Where do they go?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think we have foster parents who are stretching themselves and taking more than one child. We have programs where there's residential programs available, but that's not great for every kid. There is some hoteling where children are staying with their caseworkers in a hotel. Definitely not ideal. Those are pretty much the main areas where those 500 kids are going. They might go into another community where there might be more foster bed availability. So maybe they leave their county of origin and go someplace else in Oregon. That's a possibility as well. We serve kids from all over the state, so kids are being moved around to try to find homes.
Tell me what it's like. Try to sell me on being a foster parent, I guess is what I'm trying to say. What are the benefits, and just tell me all about what it's like to be a foster parent.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty in touch with our current foster parents. I've never been a foster parent. What I hear them consistently say is, it is the hardest job you will ever love. They make an impact without knowing they're making an impact, but they know every day something's landing on this child that they will be able to take with them. Foster parents have a high tolerance level for a lot of anger, sadness, and grief that these kids bring into their home. These are kids who have been pulled from their homes at no fault of their own to try to find safety and the chaos and the neglect, and they're going into a foster parent's home. And so that foster parent's job is to say, we welcome you, we hear you, we see you, and we're here to help you make it better and to get back to something that's permanent. And kids, whether in foster care or not, don't always love being with their parents. So that's no different for a child living in foster care. What I say to those who are like, gosh, I'm so on the fence, I just don't know. If you truly believe that you have the heart and the tolerance and the space to care for a child, you can do this work. You're designed to do this work.
Some folks that have been foster parents for most of their lives couldn't imagine doing any other thing, could they?
No. We have a foster family who has been fostering for more than 30 years. They have adopted two or three of those children that they have fostered, and they have a calling. They just know that this is what they were put on this earth to do. We have other foster families who know that this is just how they are making their difference in their community, and they are lifelong foster parents. Yes, they take a break and they come back, but they know it's what they're meant to be doing and to help to make a difference.
Yeah. We're talking today with Susan Huntington, president and CEO of Boys and Girls Aid. Maybe somebody's thinking about becoming a foster parent, but they're not quite there yet. Are there other ways they can help out?
There are other ways they can help out. We just started a program I'm super excited about. It's called Supportive Caregiving. And so you're not sure you want to be a foster parent. You're not sure you're quite equipped or skilled, and you're just, you need more. And so our supportive caregivers are folks who are willing to come in and be trained and have a background check and spend time with our foster youth while the foster parents get a break. So maybe this supportive care provider would come into a foster parent's home every Tuesday while that foster parent goes and has dinner, sees a friend, goes shopping for groceries without having their child with them, just gives them a break. The foster child, they can be in the community with the foster child. They can be in the foster parent's home, but they're not spending the night at your house as a supportive caregiver. It's a really wonderful way to support the parents, the foster parents. It's a really wonderful way to support foster care kids in your community without having that full investment in having a kid in your home 24/7 for their period of time with you. Another way is to volunteer organizations like Boys and Girls Aid, whether that's doing drives for us when it's back to school. We need backpacks and duffel bags. Gift cards are always great. So when a kid needs, we just had someone who wanted to join their track team. They needed some workout gear. So we had a gift card available for them so that the child could go and shop for themselves to buy the workout wear that they needed. So there's opportunities like that to make a difference. And there are many organizations across Oregon that you can, you know, call and get involved with in some way.
Yeah, is that the best way to reach out to an organization, to give them a call or maybe look them up on their website?
Mm-hmm.
What's the Boys and Girls Aid website?
Boysandgirlsaid.org.
Well, that's an easy one.
And as soon as you go to our website, right at the very top says become a foster parent. And if you scroll on down, there is supportive caregiver that's there.
So that the best way to find out all the ins and outs of doing that?
It's the best way to get your first step. The second step is to, for Boys and Girls Aid, is to schedule an information session, either attend one that we already have pre-scheduled or make an individual appointment with one of our outreach and certifiers, and they will walk every person through the process. So we do a lot of one-on-one meetings. We do planned group meetings. We do outings. We speak to neighborhood associations. We're really just trying to get the word out. So we have lots of opportunity to meet with people.
Does Boys and Girls Aid provide the training that people need to become a foster parent?
That's a great question. We do provide all of the training. We do our work through the lens of trauma-informed care, and we work with our foster parents to have all of that training. There is training monthly, and every foster parent has a Boys and Girls Aid staff that is their foster care coordinator, if you will, and they're always there to help problem solve, troubleshoot, support in any way that's needed.
So you guys have a big event coming up. It's called the Foster Love Gala, right?
Foster Love Gala, we do. We're so excited about that. We're back in person for the first time. We haven't had a gala in a really long time, and we are excited to shift gears a little bit and have some fun and celebrate. Our theme is Come Together, and it's Come Together to Make a Difference and Come Together to Celebrate the Work of Boys and Girls Aid and to Come Together to share the work that we're doing. And we're excited that that's on May 5th in West Lynn at the Oregon Golf Club. We have a special award that we give called the Gerlinger Award for Service and Philanthropy, and we'll be honoring one of our board members and adopted children. She's an adult. Sandy Leong is receiving our Gerlinger Award. And then we have a speaker, and our speaker is named May, and she was adopted from foster care. And Boys and Girls Aid helped in facilitate her adoption. And so we'll get to see her story. And I just met with her last night, and wow, has she grown since I saw her when she was 7, and she's now 15. Oh. And it's going to be a great event.
And the Foster Love Gala is a fundraising event, right?
It is a fundraising event, yes. Tickets are $125, or you can buy a table for $10,000, $40,000. And we're going to have a silent auction and live auction, of course, a paddle race around our programming. And then we're going to end the evening with some dancing.
Nice. Is it kind of a dress-up event?
It is. It's a gala, so it's a fancy happy hour.
Yeah, very nice. And you say you haven't had one for a couple of years, I'm assuming because of COVID.
Because of COVID, and we moved away from big events and did some luncheons where we could really focus on our programming, and now we're shifting back to a fun event. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Where can people buy tickets?
Boysandgirlsaid.org.
Ah.
Attend an event.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Again, what was the date? May?
Friday, May 5th at the Oregon Golf Club in West Lynn.
Excellent. We're talking today with Susan Huntington, President and CEO of Boys and Girls Aid. Susan, talk to us about what are some of the reasons kids enter into needing foster care?
Yeah, the biggest reason kids enter foster care is due to abuse and neglect. And I firmly believe, and you know, Gary, I've said this to you before, I really believe that every parent becomes a parent and wants to do their very best. And they do that with the skills that they have. And the role modeling that they had seen. And so oftentimes we see generational issues happening, and we work to try to break that cycle. So kids are entering foster care because of abuse and neglect. It's not safe to be in the home. They're not going to school on a regular basis. They're not being fed. There might be domestic violence, mental health issues, drugs and alcohol, excessive drugs and alcohol in the home. And so we want to remove those young people from their homes to provide them with safety, a nurturing environment, get them in school, keep them on some sort of structure. And then the families work with the Department of Human Services to work out what the issues were so that those children can return back home. Of the 6,000 children that are in foster care, about 50% of those kids will return home.
And that's kind of the goal, right? Well, not
that's
kind of,
goal.
That is the ultimate goal.
That is the ultimate goal. And if you can't return home, then that next goal is where can we get you so that you have that permanent connection and you don't float around the system. And we certainly don't want you to age out of the foster care system at the age of 18. So ultimately, we really want you to have a permanent placement, whether that's guardianship or adoption, before that 18th birthday happens.
Could you explain to me what aging out of the foster care system means?
Yes. So once you, when you're a minor, right, you're under the age of 18, and once you turn 18, you're not considered a minor any longer, and you have the ability to leave the foster care system. But if you have not been home for a number of years, then you've been living in foster homes and foster homes and foster homes, you don't have anywhere to go. And so when our kids age out of foster care, it means they've turned 18, they don't want to stay in foster care anymore, and they leave their foster care home. 70% of those kids will become homeless in the first year that they are exited, that they're on their own. The likelihood that they become incarcerated, addicted to drugs, their first pregnancy is, you know, something like 8 times greater than their peers. They likely haven't graduated high school. They likely are going to see very little college, certainly as compared to their peers. We cannot have kids aging out of foster care.
What was it like during the past couple of years during the pandemic? Were things kind of getting worse? What was that? What were the last few years like?
The last few years, I mean, as you can well guess, was very difficult. What I was extremely proud of at Boys and Girls Aid and so honored to have these foster parents on our team is we didn't lose one foster parent. We didn't have any children move. We hunkered down and we took care of these kids, but the entire system basically stopped. So kids weren't getting home visits. Courts were much slower because they weren't having court. I mean, it took a long time. We're now starting to come out of that 2.5 year sort of halt and getting kids starting to move again so that they can get back home, because kids have been sitting in foster care far too long. And I would say over those 2 year period, you know, when you and I chatted prior, there were almost 8,000 children living in foster care. ODHS now, the Oregon Department of Human Services, says there's nearly 6,000. I would argue that the reason that number is less is because there were 2.5 years the kids weren't seen by mandatory reporters. Mm. And I think the system is going to be overloaded in another year and a half, because all these kids are back into their communities being seen by their mandatory reporters, being seen by neighbors. And this is how kids, you know, are able to find safety, is when people are seeing what's happening.
And do you think maybe some of the kids did the thing of aging out of the foster care system?
We did have more youth age out of the foster care system. Yeah. The Oregon Department of Human Services also did a great job of creating programs where a young person could decide, okay, I'll stay in foster care, but I don't want to live in a foster home. I want to move into some program that allows some independence. You know, they're ready as well as their peers, right? I'm 18, I'm ready to be that adult and move out. And move out to where is the issue? And so the Department of Human Services has done a nice job of creating some programs. We operate one of those programs. It's called the Compass. So these young people are still in foster care, considered a ward of the state, but living independently, so we can teach them how to do that. I'm just saying that's been helpful. And I think COVID helped us to think outside the box.
Yeah, that was one good thing that came out of the pandemic. It was you really had to shift your way of thinking and pivot and figure out a different way to do stuff.
Yes.
If there's a silver lining of anything.
I'm sorry, say that again.
If there's a silver lining of any kind.
If there's a silver lining of any kind, the being able to pivot, for sure.
No. Talk to me more about some of the services, including pregnancy counseling that you guys offer.
We do have pregnancy counseling. So, you know, in the state of Oregon, all options are on the table for a woman who is pregnant. And that would be to parent, to have make an adoption plan, or to have a legal abortion. And when we talk with our birth moms, we talk about all of those options. And she has to make the best decision for her. If she parents or decides on an abortion, we're not the agency to support her. But if she'd like to make an adoption plan, we are an agency that can support her. And as I mentioned earlier, adoption is very different now. And so she can pick a family, have that baby, and be very involved in that baby's life. I have heard of so many families where birth moms were spending holidays with the adoptive family. You know, it can be anything from letters and pictures, and all the way into these families are very integrated.
How important is that?
That is critical. A birth mother makes the absolute most selfless decision to carry her child to term and to find a family to raise that child. And then to be able to be a part of that child, it's good for the child to understand that there are two mommies. There's my bio tummy mommy, and there's my adoptive mom, and these children are just surrounded in love. I've been to events where birth parents are there with adoptive parents and the child. This child could get no more love than what is happening between this circle that supports them. It's really beautiful.
That is beautiful. Wow. Super nice.
It's really moving.
What does a Boys and Girls Aid need from the community right now?
Well, buy a ticket to the Foster Love Gala. I mean,
oh,
that's
of course.
Just a no-brainer. Come and have some fun.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
And I really supportive caregiving. You know, if you really would like to volunteer and make a difference and sign up for supportive caregiving, it is really an easy way for you to come in and make a difference, learn more about what's going on, be able to take care of a young person, give a foster parent a break, which every parent needs a break. And that would be a really tremendous way to help. And I don't want to say an easy lift. Taking care of kids isn't easy. I know that. But it is an easy lift in the sense that you can really make your own schedule. It is volunteer opportunity to really just shift the trajectory in your community.
Is being a supportive caregiver kind of like getting your feet wet a little bit, maybe lead you on the path to being a foster parent?
I mean, let's not tell them, but that would be the goal, right? You come in and you do the supportive caregiving. You're like, oh my gosh, I can do this. This is great. I like it. I mean, it's hard, but I could see myself doing this. It's our hope that there are going to be a few of those folks that self-identify that they are ready to actually be a foster parent. And we also know that there'll be a whole bunch of folks that this is exactly what they should be doing right now. Oh. And this is right for them and their family.
Do supportive caregivers work with kids of all ages?
They will. We work with kids in foster care between the ages of 4 and 17. And so they could be a supportive caregiver for, you know, younger children and all the way to 17. There might be supportive caregivers who say, I really, really only like to work with teenagers. We have just that niche for them. And there will be some who say between 4 and 9 is my sweet spot. And so sign me up for that. But we have, you know, boys and girls in our programs and all ages.
Susan, why do you do what you do?
Well, that's a great question.
Because you're awfully passionate about it.
I am passionate about it. I was adopted from foster care and would not have the life I have had I stayed in foster care. And I never knew that before I came to Boys and Girls Aid. I knew about foster care. I knew there were kids who were in foster care, and that's about all I knew. And now when I really understand what happens when they get into a system, what happens with all of the movement, the grief and the loss that they carry, how many times they are moving, which means moving schools, it's so hard for kids in foster care, and I'm passionate. I believe that every child has the possibility to be great and to be amazing, and that they deserve to have a family to call their own, and that we can make a difference and make that happen for them.
Yeah. We have about a minute or so to go. Give me all the details I need to know about the gala coming up.
all the details you need to know about the gala. Dust off your fancy duds. It's a cocktail, fun event, live auction, silent auction, dinner, and dancing. We're going to hear from one of our youth who was adopted from foster care when she was 7, and now she's 15. To hear directly from the kids who've been in this process will move you and leave a mark on your heart for the rest of time. And it's a great cause. On Friday, May 5th at the Oregon Golf Club.
And tickets are available where?
Tickets are available at boysandgirlsaid.org under attend an event.
Awesome. It's going to be a great event. Back together again.
Together again. It's going to be great.
Well, Susan, thank you. This has been another great conversation with you.
Thank you, Gary. Likewise. I really appreciate the time.
We've been talking today with Susan Huntington, President and CEO of Boys and Girls Aid.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.